sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I do ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you this afternoon. I do count it a blessing to be able to be here. I'm thankful for our little church, thankful for each and every one of you and the sweet fellowship that we've enjoyed and I believe continue to enjoy it right up until this time. I just pray the Lord will continue to bless us. Pray for me as I stand before you this afternoon that the Lord would have his way and that we would be listening to him and following him in the direction that we should go. I recognize my weakness. I had a good day yesterday over at Thumb Run Church. Enjoyed being with the brethren there. I got to sit and listen and got to hear Brother Darrell and Brother John. I thought they both preached ably. I enjoyed that very much. And be able to go this morning and be with the brethren at Summer Duck Union Church and enjoyed a sweet time of fellowship there. I felt like I labored in my preaching, but I'll leave that in the Lord's hands. And I did enjoy the fellowship very much. The song service was sweet, and brethren seemed to love you, whether you labor or whether you don't. That's a great blessing to have that kind of fellowship. Then be able to come back this afternoon, spend a little time at Sister Minnie's house, and be able to have a good meal, and then come over to the meeting. What blessed people we are to have friends and have the fellowship that the Lord has given us, and I do feel my need of his blessings this afternoon. Sometimes we get a little puffed up in our thinking and feel like we're doing a little better than we are. We forget how much we need the Lord. And I'll just share a little story that's meant a lot to me since yesterday evening when it occurred. After the meeting at Thumb Run, I thought I'd try to find a nice trail somewhere and take a little walk. I've been trying to do that, and I just find it's just good for my thinking when I can do that. So I went over to Andy Gass State Park and wanted to try one of the trails. I was feeling pretty good about myself. You know, I was going in and I asked the lady, the park ranger, you know, which trail. And of course, she pointed me immediately to the easiest trail that they had. And of course, I told her I didn't really want that trail. I had another one in mind and how to get to that one. She said, well, that one's a real tough trail. And she said, like, almost like, I don't think you can make it up that trail. And I said, that's the one I want. So she pointed me to that trail, and I did. I made that trail pretty good and was feeling pretty good about myself. And I came on out of that one all right, and it was a relatively short trail. So I went to another trail that she had recommended. I said, well, I got a little more time, and I need to walk a little farther, so I'll go on this trail. And so it was one that's pretty level, didn't have too much trouble. So I was walking away, boy, thinking I was feeling real good about myself. And I ran into these two young families with about four or five kids. And I guess they ranged probably between second grade all the way down to 4 or 5 years old, something like that. And I don't know how many there was, but they were there on the trail, and I walked right past them. And I'm feeling real good about myself. You know, I've been walking. He came out of the mountain on the one trail, and a little fella said, are you really a mountain climber? He was a little boy I passed. He said, are you really a mountain climber? And I said, well, no, but I'm enjoying walking these trails. So I went by this family and these little kids, and I hear this little voice saying, hey, old man, old man, hey, old man. And I was really immediately brought back to reality of what I must look like on the trail. And the mama was saying, oh, don't say that, don't say that. And the more she said don't say it, the more that little boy or girl, I don't know which one, hollered, hey, old man, old man, old man. I knew who he was talking to. But anyway, I just thought how quickly the Lord brings us back to reality. And sometimes when we're going to a meeting like that, we can feel it, you know, physically. I'm a little tired this afternoon, but I'm thankful for what God has given us. Even as I was sitting there last night, I would even say it aloud every once in a while at the house. I'd be able to getting up or something. I said, "Hey, old man." So when you see me walking around like it, you can just say, "Hey, old man." But that's what we are, and we're going that course. This life is short. We're here just for a while. The Lord has blessed us with a wonderful life. He's blessed us with good days. Manifold blessings. Every day He loaded us with benefits. Every day the Lord's good to us. And today is no different than that. And so many of those days we miss. Sometimes worried about the next one that's going to come, or what we got in face in front of us, or what is it going to be like, or whether we're going to get this, or whether we're going to get that, or whether we're going to have this or have that. And we have been given by the grace of God so many wonderful promises and so many blessings that it is really a sin for you and I to not trust Him and turn things over to Him. And if I don't say any more than that today, I want to just encourage us to more than we ever have, as much as we can, believe and trust in the Lord. And turn our lives completely over to Him. We don't do that, like the world teaches men to do that in order to become God's children. That's a requirement on your behalf in order for you to have a relationship with God, in order for you to know the Lord, in order for you to be born again, in order for you to go to heaven when you die. That it's up to you to develop and establish that relationship with God while you're here in this world. And if you don't do that, if you don't call out upon the Lord and you don't hold on to Him and trust Him in every way, then you're going to miss out your eternal home. And I'm sure thankful I'm not preaching that to you today, because we believe from the Word of God that God has a people out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. The Bible speaks of them as His elect, as His chosen people. And all of them, without the loss of one, each and every one of them, as far as heaven is concerned, are secure in the finished work of the Lord. And that's exciting today. That's a wonderful thing to know. I hope that encourages you to know that there's not anything you can do to lose your salvation. There's not anything you can do to gain your salvation. But the fact that you even have a desire for these things is an evidence that He had a love for you that was in eternity. He loved you with an eternal, everlasting love. And there's absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not a thing in this world. He proved that love so much that He secured heaven for you. And He did that by sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was verily God, took upon Himself a body of flesh, and was made like unto us, except there was absolutely no sin about Him. He lived His life and He went to the cross, and there at Calvary, every sin that you and I had ever committed and all the sins of His elect family were placed upon Him, and He there bore them in His own body. He bore the agony of the cross. He felt the weight of the sins, so much so there at the Garden of Gethsemane, even as He thought about that which was to come and knew as God what was going to happen, He prayed, "O Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me, but nevertheless not My will, but Thy will be done." And there He understood what it was to carry our sins in His own body. You know, we have trouble with our sins now. My sins trouble me, don't they, you? The things that I've done wrong trouble me. Can you imagine how the Son of God, who never committed a sin of His own, must have felt when the weight of our sins were placed upon Him? Not just my sins, which was a great amount. I feel like the chief of sinners, like the Apostle Paul said, is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We all can make that statement, because that's the way we ought to see ourselves, as the chief of sinners. Paul felt himself to be that. I feel myself to be that, and I believe you feel to be that way also. But our sins were taken off of us, and there placed upon the Son of God at Calvary, and there at Calvary, He bore the pain and the agony which would have been ours in an eternity of hell. Every stripe, every suffering, every agony, every bit of that would have been our just deserts. Jesus, justly, He took it in His own body freely and bore it because of His great love wherewith He loved us. And He removed it from us. Here's the good news. He removed it from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. And that's a reality. That's what Jesus did for us. That is, whether we're trusting Him today or not, whether we're believing in Him today or not, whether we're sitting under the gospel or not, whether we're attending church or not, whether we are faithful to Him or not, whether we are loving Him as He loved us, His love is not dependent. As our love is dependent on His love for us is not dependent on our love. We didn't love Him first, and then He loved us in return. He loved us while we were yet His enemies. And so our love for Him is dependent on His love for us, because without His love for us, we could never have loved Him. But get this, His love for us was never dependent on our love towards Him, because He loved us when we weren't loving Him. We were yet His enemies. Because of His great love wherewith He loved us, He died for the ungodly. He died for the unrighteous. He died for sinners like you and me, the little limping, stumbling folks at Happy Creek and others of our sister churches. He saw us, and He saw us in our need, and He loved us so much that He sent His Son. That one day, after all of this trouble is over, after this old man is gone, one day we'll be with the Lord in glory, forever to be with Him. He's coming again, and when He comes again, He's going to translate us. He's going to change us. He's going to make us like unto Him. If we're alive and remain, He's going to change us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. A trumpet could sound any time. Are you listening? Are you looking? Are you waiting? I remember an old preacher that used to come among us, said he'd go home, and he'd stand out on the porch and just wait sometimes. He'd look over at the sunset, and he'd be sitting there, and his wife would come out and say, "Brother, what you doing? What son, brother, love, call him by name. What you doing? Why are you out here?" And he said, I'm just waiting on the Lord to come." He said he came home one time, and she was standing out on the porch, and he said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm waiting for the Lord to come." And he said it just made his heart melt. Oh, may you and I go out today just looking and waiting for Him to come, living each day, anticipating. Maybe it's today. It could be this morning. Do you think that'd change how you face tomorrow if you thought about the Lord may come today? Would it change how you feel about right now if you thought the Lord may come before we leave this meeting? Would it cause us to maybe be a little more interested in what's going on in the service of God? Would it cause us to take things a little more real? Would it cause us not to get so upset about things that sometimes upset us? Would it cause us sometimes to trust Him a whole lot more? When we keep in mind that our life is but a vapor, that soon it's this old man and this old woman and all of us, whether we be young or old, before you know it, the years pass and we're soon gone. That depresses the man of this world. But I'll tell you what it does to a little child of God. It causes you to get excited about one day I'm going to have all this trouble and all this is going to be over. And listen, there's a place called heaven right now. There's God's children in the presence of God in heaven right now. There's worship and praise being happening right now as you and I are here on this earth, and we're left here according to the purpose of God for the time God would give us here in this world, and all of that serves a purpose. I don't understand all about that, but I do know this, God. There's not one person breathing today that doesn't that is without purpose in this world. The Lord has a purpose for us to be in here because He's a God of purpose. He does things, whether I understand it or not, according to His own good will and His own good pleasure. And He's given me breath in my body and life. And the reason that He's given us, He gives us a glimpse of that. You and I are here that we might worship Him. You and I are here that we might honor Him and glorify Him. We're here to remind one another that we're just passing through. This is not our home. Don't fall in love with this world. This world is not our home. The Lord has a place for us called heaven that He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. If it were not so, I would not have told you. You believe that? I believe that. And so therefore, my life right now is not just about right here and now. One day I'm going to be with the Lord in glory. And so whatever's coming, it's just for a little while. I'm here just for a little while. And it's soon passing. And in the meantime, the Lord has given us a wonderful blessing of life that we can live each and every day as we go in this world trusting in the Lord. And sometimes the battle is hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's difficult. I don't know what all you're going through this week. I don't know what all you're going through right now, but I know this. The Lord knows everything, every problem, every situation, and every trouble. And when you and I walk in the faith that He has given us, we have a beautiful walk here in this world with the Lord. I want to read a couple verses in you here, and I may not be before you very long. I'm thankful I've had as much as I've had already to share with you. I pray, and if that's all, then I want to be thankful for that. And we've had a good meeting and be able to thank the Lord and go out a little happier than we came in and trust in Him a little more. And I pray the Lord will continue to bless us. But I'd like to read in your hearing Hebrews 11. I'd like to read verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 11. For those who are Bible readers, you know that Hebrews 11 is the chapter that's about the faith of God given unto God's people, and how that God's people who walk by faith are particularly blessed in this world. And today I want to talk, if the Lord will bless us, a little bit about the wonderful gift of faith that the Lord has given us. And what a blessing that is. There are some people who believe that faith is that what you need in order to get life. We understand that faith is what you have because you have life, not that which you get in order to get life. There are some people today that are trying to preach faith into folks. I don't believe I can preach faith into you. As a matter of fact, I don't believe if God hadn't given you faith, my preaching will have had any benefit upon you at all. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said in one place that he prayed to be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, for all men have not faith. And he understood that in order for people to be able to praise God and to worship God and to walk pleasing to God, they must have faith. And in order to have faith, they must have life first. Life precedes faith. Faith doesn't give you life. Life is that which gives you faith. Faith is a fruit. Life comes by the Spirit of God. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift of God. But thanks be to God for the wonderful gift of faith that He has allowed us to have. Verse 5 and 6 of Hebrews 11 tells us of one character in the Old Testament. The Bible in Jude calls him the seventh from Adam. His name is Enoch. And Enoch is a man of faith. And the reason we know he's a man of faith, though the Bible doesn't speak a lot about him, it tells us a lot about him in a few verses, because it says he's a man of faith. He walked with God and he had a testimony that he pleased God. And Hebrews chapter 5 tells us, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now Enoch, we read in the Genesis, I believe it's Genesis 5, that Enoch lived 365 years of age. That seems like a long time. That little girl would call him an old man. I might have been an old man, but I am. You know, Enoch was just beginning at my age. As a matter of fact, at 65 years of age, he begat Methuselah. And we've heard of Methuselah. You know, some people say old is Methuselah. Well, that's because Methuselah was a very old fellow. 365 years sounds like a long time, doesn't it? And indeed, it would be a long time. But I'm telling you, at that time, he was about midlife. Because 900 years wasn't unheard of. It wasn't unusual. It was more the norm than unusual for men before the flood and in those early times. And all of that worked in order that the world would be constituted and framed and populated. And the Lord moved in such wonderful ways. Isn't it wonderful to know that there's a God that is able to bless us to do that? And not only that, but Enoch not only lived, he really lived. He not only put in the time, He not only was blessed to put in the years and have the years, but he was truly blessed in many ways because he had a life that the testimony of his life was that he pleased God. And I thought about that, and I've tried to preach on this before, but isn't that something? If anything could be said about us, wouldn't that be a desire on our part that whatever I do each day, and when we get to the end of the day, may it be said that I've walked with God today, that I please God. As a matter of fact, I think we sing a hymn like that, don't we? Walk with God, that says, or at the evening time, as I walk through, come to the end of the day, may it be said that there's something that I've done, or that my life might be about pleasing God. Is it important to you that you please God? You know, I like to I like to live my life in a way my wife's pleased. I like it when my children are pleased. I certainly, when I was a boy, I liked it when my mom and daddy were pleased. I didn't want to displease them. Sometimes I did, but it made me unhappy when I displeased them, and made me feel very happy when I did please them. That's because they had been good to me, and I wanted to live and act in a way that would please them. And respecting them was very important, still is to me. That I don't act in a way that my mama's going to be displeased. I know Brother Terry acts in a way his mama doesn't. He wants to act in a way his mama isn't, that she's pleased with him. It's important that she's pleased. He's like me sometimes. He'll sneak around. No, I'm not kidding. I'm just kidding about that. Brother, oh, me. I love you, Brother Terry. I love you. Sometimes mama don't see everything. Sometimes daddies don't see everything. Sometimes I've known things that I did in my life that I wouldn't tell my mom and daddy I did yet. I don't want to say anything about it because I didn't always please them. Do you know, when it comes to the Lord, He knows everything about all of us. He knows everything. He knows not only what we do, He knows why we do it. He not only knows the end result, He knows the intent. He knows all about that. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. It says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder, but even the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts. I'm not getting all of that. It's in the Hebrew letter. Is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And all things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. And it didn't say whom you might do. It says whom you have to do. With whom you have to do. And our Lord is one we're going to answer to. Isn't it good to know that? We have a Lord to answer to. It can be a frightful thing to know that. But Enoch was translated that he should not see death. If we read over in Genesis 5, we can see about the life of Enoch there very quick. We'll turn to that, Genesis chapter 5. And he says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah." Sounds like a change took place in the life of Enoch, didn't it? It says, "And Enoch walked with God." I don't know what he did before he begat Methuselah, but I know after he begat Methuselah, the Bible says that he walked with God. Now, how did Enoch walk with God? Did Enoch just decide one day, "I'm going to walk with God"? Did Enoch just decide, "I'm going to stop thinking like the spirit of man that's in me, and I'm going to change my course"? The Bible says it's impossible for he who is accustomed to do evil to turn and do good. The Bible says as impossible it is for the Ethiopian to change the color of his skin or his leopard his spots. It's impossible for the man who is accustomed to do evil to turn and choose to do good. We don't have a will to do it. We don't have a desire to do it. We don't have the ability to do it. He had to be, as we are, a recipient of the grace of God. In other words, God changed Enoch. The new birth took place in the life of Enoch. Somebody said, "You believe the new birth happened to the Old Testament saints?" Absolutely. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit quickened those Old Testament saints. The Holy Spirit quickens every one of His children. There's a calling that's effectual that every one of God's children will undergo, and that's an effectual calling done by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, where the dead are made alive. The Bible says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom all we lived our life according to the lust of the flesh and the desires of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And we would have remained that way. Enoch, you, me, everyone else would have remained that way until God, by His mercy, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath raised us up together, quickened us, and made us alive. And that's what happened to Enoch. And Enoch, I don't know what happened before the 65 years, but I know after that he walked with God. God had communion with him and fellowship with him. And the Bible speaks of it as a walk of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the ability you have to believe and trust in the Lord today. Do you have that ability to trust in Him? Absolutely. Do we always do it? No. Should we? Yes. And so therefore, what we want to do better is take the shield of faith and use it more in our life so that we might, in our life, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, realize that God is with you. I say if all of us took examination of this last week in which we lived, I dare say we could spot some times in our life that we weren't thinking about the Lord at all, and felt like we were alone, and felt like we didn't have any answers, and didn't have any directions, and we didn't know which way to turn or which way to go. And what the reality of the matter is, all week long, the Lord has been with you every step of the way. His love will never leave you. It's everlasting, eternal, and His eyes are always upon you, even though you're not looking to Him. How much better is it when we walk by faith, which is the gift of God, and we realize every day that the eyes of the Lord is with us and He's protecting us, He's watching over us. Listen, this is a dangerous land to live in if we didn't know the Lord was watching over us. I'd be afraid to drive. Really, we ought to be afraid of driving across town if we thought for a moment the eyes and the hand of the Lord was not upon us. When we get caught in traffic, sometimes we're complaining because the traffic's so bad, when really, in reality, God may be hindering things so that we're not involved in something serious at the end. How many times has the Lord delivered us while we were complaining about His manner and methods of doing? Over and over again in our life. I believe what Enoch is expressing here is what Enoch enjoyed when he walked with the Lord, that he lived his days realizing God is my God and I can trust and I can depend upon Him. When it comes to dying, I'm not afraid. You know why? Because God is my God and I can trust and depend upon Him. When it comes time to raise my children, I don't have to be afraid because God's going to give me strength as He's promised to never leave me nor forsake me. He'll help me be the good mama, the good daddy, whatever that I'm supposed to be. He'll give me that which I stand in need of, and I'm not looking to my own wisdom or to my husband's or to my wife or anyone else. I'm looking to the Lord. I'm depending upon the Lord, and that's where you and I ought to be. Enoch's trust was in the Lord. And the Lord, I believe, blessed his home and his family. Can you imagine to have, if you had Enoch as a father, what that would have been like to have a man who trusted in the Lord? That makes a difference when your dad trusts in the Lord. I was blessed to have a daddy who trusts in the Lord and have a daddy who trusts in the Lord. And even in his moments now where his mind is not clear, I know that though he can't express what he could at one time to me, the Lord is with him, for when we are weak, then we are strong. And that's a great, great consolation and comfort to me right now. You can't be with your mom and daddy, but the Lord's with them. We believe that, don't we? And the reason we can believe that is God's given you faith. Without faith, you couldn't believe that. But it's absolutely wonderful to be able to believe it. And when you believe it, listen, that pleases God when you believe it. You want to please God? Trust Him. You want to please God? Believe Him. You want to please God? Pray to Him and call upon Him and then leave it there. Want to please God? Ask Him to open the doors and wait for Him to do it. And when He opens them, say, thank you, Lord, for opening them. And when He doesn't open them, you say, thank you, Lord, for not opening, because He's able to open them if they should be open, and He can keep them closed when we ask amiss. And sometimes we do. And you and I can face whatever's coming in this world. We can do that as a church. We can do that as individuals. We can do that in our life. And when we do that, get me, you please the Lord when you get, that's the way we can please the Lord. I'll never please the Lord by getting good enough. I'll never please the Lord by being righteous enough. I'll never please the Lord by me putting on something that He doesn't give me. I please the Lord when I put on the apparel that He's given me to wear, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole armor of God. And then I take up my cross and I walk and follow after Him, trusting in Him for the outcome. And when God's little children go trusting in the Lord, they walk pleasing to the Lord. And for 300 years, Enoch walked with the Lord that way. He went trusting Him. And I'm not saying by any means he was perfect, because the Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you would. As a matter of fact, I know every one of us right now probably thinking, I'll tell you, Brother Gary, I'm not going to be like Enoch because I got a battle to fight. Don't think for a moment that Enoch didn't have a battle to fight. He had to fight that battle every day. You and I won't have to fight it for 300 years. Enoch fought it for 365 years. He fought that battle. But the Lord delivered him from in that battle, and He gave him faith sufficient for every day of that battle. And what He promised and gave to Enoch, He's promised and given to us. May you and I hold the shield of faith as we face the fiery darts of the adversary, and when he hits us with everything he hits you. And by the way, the more you try to do right, have you found this to be the case? The more he hits you. The more he fires at you. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Can you imagine? I don't know how many sons and daughters, but that would be quite a family, wouldn't it? I mentioned it one time many years ago, and probably recently between two or three times. Can you imagine the family reunion that Enoch would have had? You know, what a crowd that would be. Somebody lives a long time and you see how big a family gets, you know. After a while, your children have children, those children have children, you get generations of it. Can you imagine the gathering together? Enoch's going to have a family reunion. What kind of family reunion would that be? It'd be a crowd of people. And I'm telling you, they had a special granddaddy. I can remember some special granddaddies, can't you? I can remember some special, I had a good granddaddy. I remember him. Some special granddaddies. I had a granddaddy that wouldn't dare take a bite of his food until he offered a prayer. And he said in his prayer, and I'll just share this with you, he'd always say, "Deliver us from all evil." And I remember as a little child thinking he said, "Little small eagle." I couldn't figure out exactly what he was saying, but I can hear it in my... I can remember that thought. Of all the things I can remember about my granddaddy, I still hear him saying, "Little small eagle." And then I came to see later, I didn't understand what it meant then, but now it means a lot to me when he said, "Deliver us from all evil." He was praying for his family. And though he and I didn't see eye to eye on many doctrinal issues, I'm telling you, I know the Lord was the author of his faith and the finisher of his faith, and he's with the Lord today. What a blessed thing. He's in heaven with Enoch. And I'll tell you, Enoch had a wonderful blessing. Enoch, all of a sudden, was translated. What does that mean? That means that change that's going to take place in the life of those who are alive and remain. When the Lord comes again, that change is going to happen to those who are living. Those who are in the grave are going to be resurrected. They're going to be in glorified bodies. They're going to be made in fashion like unto His glorious body. But those who are alive and remain are going to miss death. Isn't that good? Brother Tommy Roundtree always says he didn't want to see the undertaker. He wanted to see the uppertaker. He wanted to bypass the cemetery, bypass the funeral home director and all of those folks. And he wanted to be alive when the Lord came. Somebody said, "Is that something you ought to want?" I believe it's something we ought to be looking for. Shouldn't we pray, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus"? Wouldn't it be a good thing? I'll tell you, if we don't feel it'll be a good thing, sometimes we might not. It's because we've gotten too attached to this old world. We're just here for a little while. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because all of these things are just temporal and they're going to soon pass away. I'll tell you what we've enjoyed in this world, spiritual. All the spiritual times, all the spiritual fellowship. We're going to have that. Listen, we're going to know one another over in heaven. How are we going to know one another in the fullest sense spiritually? The natural ties will be done away, but the spiritual ties will be better than they have ever been. Sometimes we talk about heaven as and what we won't have. I'll tell you, if we can talk about it, of all the glorious things that we will have. And Enoch was carried out of this world, and by faith he was translated, immediately carried into the presence of Almighty God. And he walked with God, for God took him. And Enoch was gone. And I can imagine the family saying, where is granddaddy? Where is daddy? Where are they gone? Where did he go? Somebody said 365 years wasn't unusual. Remember, 900 was the norm. So he went early. But what a blessing. You know, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Isn't that good? I miss so many of our dear brethren that used to fill the pulpits here and other places, and I miss seeing them. But I'm thankful for the fellowship. I'm thankful for the evidence of their faith. I'm thankful for seeing the work of God in them. For them to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one day we're all going to be gathered. What a day that will be when the Lord gathers us all home to be with Him. Enoch lived 65 years, begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years, begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Over in the book of Hebrews it goes, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. That means today if you and I are going to please Him, we're going to have to trust Him. We're going to have to believe Him. And how can we trust Him and believe Him? By using the faith that God has given us. There's a verse that's over in James that I have had on my mind. Over in the verse 7 of chapter 4 of James, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And I'm going to close with this verse, brethren. Submit yourselves therefore to God. That's something for us to do, isn't it? To submit. Thy will be done. Lord, not my will, but Thy will. Not my way, but Thy way. Not what I want, but what You would have me to have. Lord, help me trust Thee. Help me depend upon Thee. Lean upon Thee. Turn my life over to Thee. Lord, help me submit. Sometimes we just don't want to submit. Sometimes we want it to be our way. We don't want it to be. We want His way, but then we have so much of us in it. We want it to be our way. We need to pray, Lord, give me grace to be submissive, to submit unto Thee. This isn't how, again, someone becomes a child of God. This is how a little child of God finds peace and rest and joy in this world, by submitting their life over completely to the Lord. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. That means, Lord, I'm going to trust Thee. I'm going to lean upon Thee. I'm going to depend upon Thee. And He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We've got to fight that old adversary who's always throwing something at us. We resist the devil. And what does the Bible say if we resist the devil? He'll flee from you. How can I resist the devil? When you submit to the Lord, you have a strength and a power in the Lord that allows you to be able to resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. He's got to go. And he says, draw nigh to God. So when we feel far from Him, we're to draw nigh to Him. And He will, what does He do when we draw nigh to Him? He'll draw nigh to you. Have you found that to be the case? You know how I know that's true? His Word says it. His Word declares it. And by faith, we are able to believe it. And then we'll submit to that and say, Lord, I'm trusting Thee for that. You have promised that when I draw nigh to You, You will draw nigh to me. That when I submit to You, I can resist the devil and he will flee. It says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's when we go to the Lord and we ask for forgiveness, and we have the cleansing effect of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ are practically applied to us, where we feel washed in His blood and clean and washed. And then we have an answer to that old accuser that comes and says, you can't be a child of God. You did this and you did that. And it is true we're guilty of that, but I'm telling you, we're forgiven. We've been made accepted in the Beloved according to the promises of God. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Somebody said, that sure doesn't sound like a happy way to live. But God's little children ought to remember, In a spiritual sense, we ought to stand before God realizing I'm nothing without Him. I need Him altogether. I'll never be able to, just as I got a little puffed up and that little girl said, "Oh man," we ought to say that over and over to ourselves, reminding ourselves of who we are so we don't get lifted up in our own selves. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Now, does that mean we remain there? No, that means we get there and put the old flesh down. And then verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He shall lift you up." And brethren, if we do that, we look to the Lord and we trust Him and lean upon Him, He will supply those things that we stand in need of. Did He do it for Enoch? Absolutely. He so blessed Enoch that he was translated, which proves that he's able to do it. Somebody said, "I don't know that. Does God have the power to do that, to change us without going through death or anything?" Listen, our God has the power to do whatsoever pleases Him. What a great and glorious God it is that we have. He's already proven that. Enoch is in heaven today, body, soul, and spirit. He's with the Lord. And he's there because the Lord translated him. And the faith that God gave him, he used to live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. May you and I use that same faith to trust in Him and lean upon Him. And when we do, it pleases the Lord. Walk pleasing to the Lord. Trust Him. Lean upon Him. I appreciate your kind attention and your prayers this afternoon. I apologize to Brother Terry. He's a good boy. I'll tell you, he's not only a boy, he's a good man. I thank the Lord for him. He's my friend. And I wouldn't want his mama to think anything but good things about him because he's trying to cover up, Brother Terry. I'm not doing too good. Let me say this. I'm thankful for our friendship here, our fellowship. I'm thankful you're my brethren. You're my brothers and you're my sisters. I'm thankful for the relationship that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for my family that I have that relationship. I'm thankful for my church family that is as close to me, and I know the rest of my family feels this way, as close to me as any other part of my family. I'm thankful for that. And I just pray the Lord will help us to grow in that together, to be a help to one another, to remind one another that we have a God who's the God of Enoch. And as Enoch trusted in the Lord and the Lord took care of Enoch, we can trust in the Lord and the Lord will take care of us. And we've seen it time and time and time again. And wherever you are and whatever is going on, you leave it in the Lord's hand. If you're young and you're in school and you've got problems in school and you've got situations, you pray and leave it in the Lord's hands and the Lord is able to take care of it. And if you have faith to believe in Him, that shows you that you are His and that He's there for you and He will always love you no matter what. And when you get older, when you're walking a path and some little girl calls you an old man, it's still just that true. And when I get older than that, when I can't walk the path anymore and I can't go, the Lord will be there. And when I get ready to press this pillar and dying and leaving this world, the Lord will still be my shepherd. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil. For Thou art with me, and Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. And this is a reality. I don't want you to ever think of this as just like a Hallmark card with somebody read something to make you feel better. This is the truth. This is the truth. And I pray we continue to preach it. And more importantly, I pray that we wear it, that we believe it, that we say it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and every other day of the week, because He's the God of every day. He's a God who's able to give us exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think. And when we're in trouble, we have a God we can go to. Isn't it good to know? You have a God who cannot fail that you can go to. He doesn't do everything the way we want because sometimes we want the wrong things. But He always gives us above and beyond that which we ever need. He supplies it according to His will and according to His glory. And one day He's coming to take us out of this old troubled world and we'll be forever with the Lord in heaven. What a day that will be. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Well, amen. I'm glad he's done. Maybe both.